This presentation is produced by the Anglican Internet Church and is part of a series for Jessima Season for Worship using the Book of Common Prayer, 1928 edition. Welcome to the third of three podcast homilies for Jessima Season. I'm Father Ron Shipley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are available through links on the podcast homilies page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net and through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page at the same site. This homily is for Quinquagesima Sunday, the seventh Sunday and 49th day before Easter. For an explanation of the origin of the name and the mathematical error in the naming, listen to the homily for Septuagesima Sunday, the first of three homilies for the season. In England, Quinquagesima is known as Shrove Sunday, which is the first of the final 3 days before the start of Lent on Ash Wednesday. Shrove refers to the concept of being shriven, that is, shed of something. In the religious context, it means fasting, repentance, and confession to make us ready for Ash Wednesday. In America, only the Tuesday called Shrove Tuesday is observed. Shrove Tuesday marks the official end of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Across the epistle and gospel readings in the Book of Common Prayer for today, the common theme is love. In the Book of Common Prayer, the lectionary's first lesson for morning prayer on this day is from Deuteronomy, in which we are told in the final verse of the need to love strangers, because Israel was a stranger in Egypt, and also of the need to love, quote, the Lord your God, and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgment, and his commandments. That's Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. The epistle reading, 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13, is St. Paul's explanation of the superiority of love, or charity in the King James and Prayer Book versions, over the other two primary Christian virtues he mentions, faith and hope. Since the gospel lesson for today is long and requires a complex explanation, there is not time to explore St. Paul's comments on the superiority of the primary Christian virtue of love. In the early 19th century, John Bowring put this idea into a hymn, God is Love, His Mercy Brightens, in which each of the four verses ends with, God is Wisdom, God is Love. I discussed the several Greek words which are often translated as love in Western translations of the Bible in the homilies for the third and fourth Sundays in Lent and in Advent and in the seasonal video series Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas episode for Christmas Day, when the theme word is love. Links to those videos are found on the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The gospel reading for this day is Luke 18, verses 31-43, which includes Jesus' prophecy of his death, crucifixion, and resurrection, followed by the healing of the blind man Bartimaeus on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. The time, again this week, is the days just before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The location is the west side of the River Jordan in the region of Jericho, near where the Israelites had first entered the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. In Luke's two-part narrative, Jesus first takes the 12 aside and tells them his third prophecy of his own trial, punishment, suffering, death, and resurrection, saying in verses 31b to 33, "All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Luke tells us that the disciples did not understand because the meaning was hidden from them. Christian interpretation over the generations is that even the disciples understood only after the resurrection. The prophet reference is to the suffering servant prophecy in Isaiah 52:13, which itself is a continuation of the servant of the Lord prophecy in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. The most relevant passages are Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 9. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In addition to the prophecy of Isaiah, there are several psalm texts which relate to events in the life of Christ, particularly the scene described in this reading. Among those which are used in the Good Friday service in the AIC bookstore publication, Occasional Service for Anglican Worship, available from my author page, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley, are Psalm 21, verse 1, 7, and 17 and 18. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 7, all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he will have him. And finally, verses 17 to 18, they pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They stand staring and looking upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. In the second half of our reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, the traveling party has come closer to Jerusalem, and Jesus encounters the blind beggar. He is not named in St. Luke's account, but is identified as Bartimaeus in St. Mark's Gospel. Even though the man was blind, in other words, he did not have eyes to see, as Jesus said in the Gospel reading for Sex Adjustment Sunday, he and only he recognized Jesus of Nazareth as, quote, Son of David. When others protested that he had the nerve to speak, he cried out in verse 39, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus commanded others to be still and bid the blind man to come to him, saying in verse 41, or asking, What do you want me to do for you? In verse 42, Bartimaeus asked for his sight, and Jesus replied, Receive your sight, your faith has made you well. Out of all the folk in the Holy Land at the time, the Jews with their Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and elaborate ritual practices, only the blind man who could not literally see Jesus, again who did not have eyes to see, understood that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed, he had faith that Jesus possessed the power to heal him. At the end of the reading, Luke tells us that when all the people saw what happened, they gave praise to God. My closing prayers are a confession by the great Anglican divine, the Blessed Lancelot Andrews, written at the beginning of the 17th century in England, followed by the collect for Quinquagesima Sunday, and in this case, using the prayer book text in which love is translated as charity. First, the confession of Lancelot Andrews. I, coming to God, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is indeed the Savior of the world, that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ I shall be saved even as our fathers. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My heart shall rejoice in him because I have trusted in his holy name, in the name of the Father and of the Savior, mediator, intercessor, redeemer of the twofold comforter, the Lamb and the Dove. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon me, according as I hope in thee. Amen. And now the collect for Quinquagesima Sunday. O Lord, who hast taught us that all our doings without charity are nothing worth, send us thy Holy Ghost and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whosoever liveth is counted dead before thee. Grant this for thine only Son, Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.